that's my great Michael Buffer voice. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne, talking all sports every Tuesday, 7 a.m. right here on KUNV 91.5, The Source. And, of course, this week, Taylor, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Roberto the Ghost Guerrero fighting at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. And don't get me wrong, I love fight night, Taylor. I love...
No, you don't.
No, trust me. Growing up here as a kid, the heavyweight division, awesome. There's a lot of good, attractive people walking around real easy on the eyes. Now when you go to the fight, you see people coming in from the pool. It's good. I like parts of fight night. I don't like, A, that Mayweather is fighting somebody who he's clearly better than, and he's undefeated. Yay, congratulations. But lately, he fights once a year. And he fights somebody that...
Well, there was a reason he only fought once last year.
Well, he'd retired at one point. Okay. But he's in prison, obviously. But I guess my big question to you and our question to the listeners, I almost said readers, so go to LasVegasSun.com and read us talk about this, is do you care? Did you care if Mayweather wins or loses? Do you want to watch? If I gave you a free ticket, would you go? If I gave you free pay-per-view, would you watch?
I would go. There's always just something about – I've only covered one fight in town. It was Mayweather-Cotto. And while I don't, enjoy much of the lead-up stuff, the hype is just too much.
It's a circus, dude.
It's a complete circus. The actual fight, that's enjoyable to me. This particular one doesn't hold any interest to me. And like you said, Guerrero is a big dog. For a lot of the lead-up, I couldn't have even told you what his first name is. I'm not, the best – example for this because I'm not plugged into boxing,
but you're an average American male.
Yeah, there's no star power to it.
Are you more interested in going to the fight? Granted, I'm giving you a free ticket, just to see somebody get hit and beat up. Is that appealing? Or
well, no, I'm to watch because obviously you want to see how Mayweather performs after, a year off, essentially. You want to see what kind of shape he's in, if he's still, kind of the same type of fighter. And just because I don't know Guerrero, I'm aware that he's an elite-level boxer, one of the better ones. And so he's still a tremendous athlete. And so I'd like to, mm-hmm. It's always something to see with that. But this versus, any other random guy that Mayweather could be fighting, I don't particularly care, no. Part of it is the fact that he's such a big underdog. Even if Mayweather wins, whoop-de-doo.
Okay,
it's just on to the next one.
Part of it for me, and this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, is when you say Floyd Mayweather Jr., he's a fighter who's on the opposite side of 30, turning 40. He's about my age, 37, 38. And he's undefeated.
Is he really that old?
Yeah.
I knew he was older.
I think he might be my age, 37. You're looking it up on your phone. Not a kid. He's undefeated, Taylor. And he is arguably one of boxing's best all-time fighters. Okay, not a heavyweight, and I know the heavyweights are more glorified, but he's undefeated. But when you say the name Floyd Mayweather Jr. to me, I don't think of this great boxer. And part of that is, A, I don't know who he's really beat that stands out as something memorable. And B, he's had so many run-ins with the law and the domestic abuse with the mother of his children. And so when I hear the name, I think of this, for lack of a better word, thug that's beat up his girlfriend, that, is always at the center of some kind of outside of the ring controversy. And for me, that overshadows his great career. I think of Kobe Bryant, a great basketball player. I think of, those great shots he's made for the Lakers and the championships with the Lakers, not his one run-in with the law when he was accused of rape in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But Floyd Mayweather Jr., I can't think of this great boxer. And I don't know if his undefeated is like this just – so what? I mean, who's he beat? He's been a huge favorite every time. Is it because he's awesome or is it because the people he's beaten aren't that good? And then I think Floyd Mayweather, the person who – at least according to some, and by his actions, he's not an all-star by any means.
Yeah, and I think of and you're right about kind of tying his out of the ring actions to kind of your first impression of him. And also, when I think of him, I just think of a talker. I think of a salesman more than a fighter, because you're right. He hasn't had I think what a lot of people consider like a legit challenger fight in a while. Now, Cotto was, you know, okay at the time and that kind of thing. But he, I think a while ago, he became so obsessed with finishing his career with that zero at the end that that meant way more to him than, you know, how he piled up the wins. It didn't matter who the wins came against as long as they were wins.
Yeah, and then if you just look at his recent history, okay, he fought an old Sugar Shane Mosley, which a big name, but Mosley basically ran the entire time. And some could say, well, that's because Mayweather was so good he forced him into boredom.
Yeah.
Then he
and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the time, a lot of people give Mosley like a pretty good chance in that one?
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the end for Mosley. So
okay.
That's okay. Then he beat up Victor Ortiz, Vicious Victor, the Jayhawk, right?
Yep.
And if you remember...
That was a bizarre one.
That was when Ortiz, when they broke, left his hands down, and Mayweather got a quick one. And some call it dirty, some call it that, being a great fighter.
Yeah, I put that on Ortiz.
I do too. But that was a fight that was kind of back and forth, and you thought Floyd would be in trouble. So... And excuse me, I might have to cough here, ladies and gentlemen. We do tape this show, so maybe they cut it out. But when you look at Floyd, the body of work, it's just I don't know when his whole career is said and done, Taylor, where I'm going to rank him or how I'm going to feel about him. And remember, we used to talk every Floyd Mayweather week. It'd be like, well, when's he going to fight Pacquiao? Oh, we got to see this mega fight with Pacquiao. Now, Pacquiao, I think you feel even worse about than Mayweather. I think he's done.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, he's done. He is signed, sealed,
delivered. I'm thrilled that that storyline no longer dominates absolutely everything around either of those guys. But it's still, like, you know, the thing that has stepped in, I don't know what it really is. You know, Mayweather with his press conference, I think it was last week, like cut off questions after like two questions because he didn't want to talk about his time in prison. What else is anybody going to want to ask you? Like that's
for me, that's kind of bad reporting in a way because, yeah, that's what people are going to ask you, and Mayweather needs to be able to answer that. But at the same time, let's get some stuff about the fight because we know he's going to shut down. Right?
I mean,
whenever I go into an interview, if I get asked something sensitive, I'm not going to say, hey, first question, did you commit that crime? Maybe I'll beat around the bush to get some stuff to write a story before I...
Yeah.
It depends on what it is.
Say it's different with those pressers in his gym. It's just a madhouse no matter what.
Have you done one of those before?
Yeah, Mayweather Cotto.
Oh, you were... hot in those gyms, crowded with people. Miserable.
You never know when he's going to show up.
Oh, he shows up in some luxury car that he bought like 2 days. Like every fighter the week before the fight, you know, they're locked up in some room. They're on a tight schedule. Mayweather's out, you know, buying a $100,000 cash car. It's on those 24/7 shows, which I found downright entertaining. I watch those all day.
There's not really much in there for me anymore. Like for certain fights, but especially like the Mayweather fights. Well, what were they going to do that they hadn't before? The same way the Pacquiao Marquez won the last one. It was the fourth time they did it. Like, we're not really uncovering anything new here.
Yeah, but I always...
But in general, I will listen to Liev Schreiber narrate anything.
Yes, I agree.
Like, 24/7 could do, like, a chess tournament, and it would be...
And he'd make it sound interesting.
It would be riveting television. Like, I want them to do that.
But it's always the same deal with Mayweather. Spends a lot of money... Has conflicts with his dad and his uncle.
He's just not an interesting person to me because it feels like he feels so fake.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a lot of the, you know, revelatory or, you know, like anytime you catch him in a real moment, that group is so like polished or as far as like knowing what they want to put out there. It all just seems rehearsed.
Like the one when he fought Victor Ortiz is when he had the big blow up with his dad.
Yeah.
And I thought that...
And his dad just happened to show up
gym. It wasn't
right
too
when
real.
24/7 was there.
But it was entertaining.
No, because I watched that and I was like, oh, okay, that's staged.
Okay, I initially thought... I thought it was staged too, but I still was like, it is what it is. It just, you know... And then, of course, they go to Victor Ortiz, who's got family problems as well. It just can't be, you know, two fighters. But I got to give Roberto Guerrero some credit. He seems to think that he could beat Mayweather, that he's found the secret to the code.
Everybody says that, though. Again, like it's the same. Like what makes this different from anything
what
else?
What if somehow Guerrero does beat Mayweather, because eventually it's going to happen? do you say, well, he beat an older Floyd Mayweather? Or do you say, oh, this Roberto Guerrero guy could fight?
Well, I think a lot of that depends on how the fight goes. Like, does Mayweather, from the start, look slow and out of it and, like, is never really in it? Is it something where it's a good fight and then Guerrero catches him? You know, it completely depends on how it plays out.
Okay. Mayweather, first fight on Showtime pay-per-view, and he's got a five-fight deal to fight on the network for the next 2 years.
So, and he's 36, by the way.
He's 36. So we know we're going to get another four fights from Mayweather in the next 2 years, and we know that they've already looked into booking the Thomas and Mack Center for Mexican Independence Day, September 14th. And everybody wants him to fight Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
And Alvarez is going to fight there as well, but they necessarily won't be fighting each other. It might be Alvarez on the undercard and Mayweather. And to me, that just screams, listen, this is the fight people want to see. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, Canelo was on his undercard at Mayweather Cotto. That was when, and he beat up Mosley very easily.
Everybody beats up Mosley. Yeah, Mosley was on the
Mosley is now there to get his to put the name in the card because it'll still catch, mm-hmm. you know, maybe some casual people and to get beat up by somebody.
But Canelo is an absolute superstar. The most popular draw in Mexico.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And he's really, really good. And he's a guy that I think would be a tremendous fight with Mayweather. I would think I would even say he'd beat Mayweather.
People who know boxing way better than I do, at least my general feeling from reading kind of stuff on both Mayweather and Cotto from them, or sorry, Mayweather and Canelo, is that Mayweather would probably kill him. Like, just speed-wise. Like, Canelo's not... Canelo lines up and always has his, like, left, like, coiled, ready to go. And when he lands him, he's got a tremendous left hook.
Which
like, really, really great.
If that's the case, then why won't Mayweather take the fight? Mayweather, to me, by kind of dodging Canelo, according to what people say, to me says, well, shoot, I'm afraid of him. I don't know if that's true
that's
or not.
That's all, yeah. The one way I would sympathize with Mayweather's position is basically every time that he either takes a fight or it's not exactly a fight, everybody can always say that he's ducking them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's just the easiest go-to.
Yeah.
Most of the times, it's just not the case at all, but it can always be framed as, oh, he's scared to fight me.
It's a good storyline. And then he'll go on ESPN and try to defend himself. But I will say, folks, boxing fans, Wednesday, 2 a.m. on LasVegasSun.com, Case Kiefer, our colleague who's not here today for the second straight week, abandoning us, is going to have a story why Mayweather picked Guerrero for his first of five Showtime fights. And it's going to be an interesting read. I really look forward to you guys giving it a read because I think it's a pretty interesting topic. The Mayweather-Guerrero fight is not the only thing happening in town. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We're here every Tuesday, 7 a.m. Last week, Taylor Byrne, our great UNLV beat writer, breaks a story. UNLV to put a statue of Coach Jerry Tarkanian at the Thomas and Mack. It's going to be located kind of in the corridor between the Mendenhall Center, the Cox Pavilion, and the Thomas and Mack. And we expect Wednesday for the school to make an official announcement. And long overdue for Coach Tarkanian. We talked last week on our Rebel Room podcast on LasVegasSun.com about it. But Taylor, I think a lot of people are fired up to get this thing done, and it's more than just a statue.
Yeah, and it's and like you said, we kind of talked on this the podcast, but it's just something for fans, you know, entering. And I think the best example is, you know, like if you're a parent taking your kid and you want to be able to, you know, talk about the old days. Well, it's, you know, it starts with Tark, and you have now or will have just something to point at and say, he, you know, he's the guy who was the coach. He brought in, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, you just lead on. It's a starting point for conversations, and it gives you a visual in order to do it. Because we said right now, at a lot of the games, you can point courtside and you say, you know, there he is, there's Jerry. But, you know, how much longer is he going to be there for it? This is something that's, you know, going to be kind of that lasting legacy. Everybody already knows about him, but people like to have that reminder. It's going to be something that a lot of people are going to enjoy. You know, it may even become like a good luck thing to like rub it before the game, get your picture taken with it, all that stuff. It's just, it's just going to add to kind of the game day experience for a lot of people.
And when UNLV beats San Diego State, go pop open a 40 with Tark.
That sounds okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I always, you know, and this is totally crazy, but we talked last week about how there's all these statues at PNC Park where my Pirates play.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, wouldn't it be cool if, like, when we win the Central this year or go to the World Series, we're at first place as of Monday.
Okay.
McCutchen goes out with, like, a bottle of champagne and pours it over Clemente.
That would be pretty good. Maybe
would that be cool?
Is that bad for the statue, though?
I don't know what it's made of, or maybe it's water in a champagne bottle. And,
yeah, that would be cool, though.
But I think a lot of people have a question of, well, what is the statue going to look like? Is the towel going to be incorporated? And we're going to find that out on Wednesday. I would assume that the towel is going to be incorporated.
It has to be, somehow.
It has to be.
Yeah.
If not, we'll go throw a...
Yeah, I say, if not, there has to be someone, like, putting a towel on there every day. Because I mean, that's just... And that's part of him. When you think about Tark, you think a lot for a lot of people who were around while he was a coach. You think of, like, the shark tie-ins on game day, all that type of stuff. And then you think of him sitting there chewing on a towel.
Yeah,
like that's still what a lot of national people refer to when they mention Tark.
Of course, Coach Tarkanian now is 82 years old, and his health is solid. He's at home, but he's coming down the tail end of a great life, and it's been a good year for him. Finally picked for the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he'll be going in September. And now UNLV is going to honor him with the statue. I asked you last week, and I guess I'll ask you again, but do you think any of these honors that Coach is getting is because he's toward the latter stages of his life, or do you just think finally now old wounds are finally healing?
I think there is some of that where people realize if we're going to have the chance to honor this guy while he can come up and accept it, you have to start doing it soon. And that has to be part of it, I think. But it's also with the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's well documented that it's just taken so long because of all the
Tark and the NCAA didn't exactly get along.
They didn't go to brunch. And so it just kind of took some time for wounds to heal a little bit with that. So I think it's a combination of the two, but I certainly think that people realize, that if we're going to do this, we need to do it now. That kind of thing, because you don't know how long he's gotten. We don't want to sit here speculating on that type of thing. But I think everybody knows that you can see Tark at the games. He's just not moving around all that well. You just don't know. And that's true for anybody. You don't know.
Anybody exactly. In their 80s is on borrowed time, in my opinion.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly.
I will tell you this. When Tark does pass, there will be a lot of flowers at that new statue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you put your quarters in the meter. We don't want you to get a ticket that day either.
Yeah.
So LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Talking all things Las Vegas sports right here on 91.5 KUNV, The Source. It's part of the Waking Up with the Sun package. Every morning, 7 a.m., our news gatherers during the week, of course, talk about their beat, business, entertainment, whatever it is. So give us a listen. We really love talking to you. And this past weekend, the NFL draft came and went. UNLV, third straight year without a player picked. Congratulations, Rebels. That's something to hang your hat on. 3-2 win season.
Are you surprised at all at that? Because there was only one guy that even had a chance, which was John Lotulelei, linebacker who led the team in tackles like almost by twofold. But I mean, he was kind of, I think, projected as like a seventh rounder by most things. And so when a seventh rounder doesn't go, I don't think you can be all that shocked. But
yeah, the seventh round in draft is when I think teams say, okay, there's no difference between a free agent and a seventh round, but if we get a guy in the seventh round, at least we know he's ours and we're not going to
exactly.
get a bidding
war. It's almost like a preferred free agent.
Preferred free agent. Here's the thing with Lotulelei. Great knack for finding the
Lotulelei.
Same thing. Anybody that's Polynesian, I'm going to get your last name wrong. great knack for the football. Made a lot of tackles for UNLV. Was probably the lone bright spot in the season this year. Had 120 tackles. 10th best single season mark at UNLV. However, 5'11", maybe a step slower. And he's a guy that's going to really have to find a coach or a team that likes him to give him a chance, and he's going to have to play special teams. And, well, I mean, he's got a chance in Seattle. They're giving him a chance. And like I said, the guy makes tackles. And if he could translate that into special teams, who knows, maybe he could squeeze on. Maybe he could get on the practice squad. But to be announced.
Yeah, and he had a pretty bad 40 time at the combine. When you watch him, he doesn't seem overly fast, but he had the best three cone drill, which is something that, you know, just tests your ability to like change direction, which I personally think is more important than just running in a straight line would be, especially for that position. He had the best time for any inside linebacker, and he's got, like you said, he was just around the football. He found a way to make plays. I think you're right. If he buys in and goes the scout team, special teams route, like just kind of the I'll do whatever you need me to do and can come up with that, I think he could carve out a decent little career for himself.
And he's never,
I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, some big star, the starting middle linebacker on like a top tier team. I'm not sure that that's in the cards, but he can stick around the NFL for a little while.
And here's the deal. Yeah, he doesn't have that direct speed, but he's an inside linebacker, and he's a pretty smart one at that. You don't get 120 tackles and kind of lets you know where the play's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always around the ball. He did his homework. He understood what was going on. And
part of that, maybe it could be just that on that UNLV defense, there around him, he felt there was no one else. Like, if he didn't make the play, no one was going to. And so he put it on his shoulders. And I think if you're a GM or a coach, you would like that. You like that a guy was able to kind of take on more than he probably should have needed to and did well with it.
Bradley Randall, UNLV, left after his junior year, 5'7", also signs a free agent deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Let me ask you this, Taylor. You cover the team. I'm around the team. It's been 3 years since – 3 drafts. UNLV hasn't had a player go. They've had 3 awful seasons. And is this a problem where you think either A, UNLV's not getting talented players, or B, they're not developing them good enough? I mean, because to only have 2 free agent guys and nobody picked speaks volumes about the team. And I know that none of these guys are guys that Bobby brought in. In fact, none of the guys – well, I guess there were some JC guys.
Well, John was.
Yeah, JC. My bad. But is this a problem where UNLV's not developing guys, or they just don't have good guys to begin with?
Well, there's certainly – and it's the boring answer is the most true answer, which is there's some of both. You know, but they're also, you know, still a fairly younger team. Like the prospects on the team, we've talked about this. When you look at, you know, who might be coming up next or who would have a chance to be drafted, I think in the next couple of years you've got some guys that could be taken. And I think Tim Cornette maybe could go somewhere. I think.
Well, if Randall got a free agent deal, Cornette will.
Well, I'm not talking a free agent deal. I'm talking getting drafted.
Okay.
And I think Brett Boyko in a couple of years is going to have a chance as long as he's bounced back from his leg surgery. You know, maybe Devontae Davis does something. But there are a few more coming that I think have, like, you know, potentially better
what
pro
about
prospects.
Cam Jefferson, just because of he's got the physical stature.
And that's quick, that certainly could
he's
be.
Big.
Yeah. You know, and that is the thing where I think that they have, on that offensive line, have developed those guys as far as getting them bigger, faster, a little bit. Now, injuries have been part of it, but also that group, I think, you know, everybody would agree, underperformed last year. You know, there's a lot of that has to go on Sherry because he held the ball too long a lot of times. But
no stability because of injuries.
Yeah, Boyko went down. Scoggins had to come in and fill a long role. Yeah, there was a lot of moving around, which is obviously not what you want at all. But that's just part of that, too, is what's going to – you know, is something that probably GMs and coaches are looking at. How do you deal with adversity?
Yeah.
And is anybody on this team going to, like, pass that kind of test?
And I also think Robert Waterman, the center, could be a pro prospect. I mean, look at all the starts he's had.
Well, yeah, but does 60 starts at UNLV mean something?
I think it does. 60 Division I starts, I think, means a lot. There was a kid that I covered at Green Valley High. His name was Brandon Dombrowski. He was a guard. He started since he arrived at San Diego State. It wasn't all league, wasn't anything. Got on with the Chargers because the San Diego connection, worked his way from the practice squad, and they had a lot of injuries. He ended up playing, you know, maybe 13 starts the last 3 years, but he made some good money. And it wasn't because he was great. It's just that, you know, if you've played 60 starts, you're kind of used to the pace. You can, it's all about getting a team that likes you. And it looks like Minnesota might like Bradley Randall, according to some video I found on YouTube. But, you know, if a team, I think,
They like him to a degree, but because they're not going to, no team is going to talk about, you know, with their free agent signings. Yeah, we don't actually like him, but we just need some bodies. Yeah.
You're really too small. We need some guys to beat up on in practice, really. Yeah. Come on down and see, you know, we'll give you a few $100.
That's what a lot of the deals are.
And but you one out to, of every 50 of those say, guys.
But yeah, sometimes you bring that guy in, stuff happens, you know, things just break the right way, and you never know. It's better to be in the camp than not. You know, that's the bottom line with that. But as far as, you know, do I expect Bradley Randall to be on a team this fall? I don't.
You're not picking him in your fantasy league?
I am not.
Okay.
I hope so. And he's a really nice kid. I hope things work out for him. But if I were a betting man, you know, that's not where I'm going.
Well, if I was a betting man and I bet against him, he'd make it.
That's all he needs is Brewer to bet on you.
Yeah.
Then you're guaranteed to bet against you. Yeah. Then you're guaranteed to win.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Let me ask you this question, Taylor. If you were, because you're still young enough to where you could dream of being an athlete in a pro sport. I'm past my prime.
I guess technically.
What pro sports do you say, God, I really wish I could be an X player, like a football player or an NBA player?
Well, no, it would be NBA because then I'd have better answers for when people ask me about my height all the time. Yeah.
Dude, did you play hoop?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Taylor, by the way, is 6'7".
6'8".
6'8".
Yeah.
And he's agile. He's a quick 6'8".
I guess.
What's your 40 time?
I've never run a 40. I was actually talking to somebody about that the other day. We should go out and do that. Do a sports staff 40.
I'd like to think, and I know—
Mine would be terrible.
I know Kiefer works out, but I'd like to think I might have the fastest time.
Are you kidding me? Okay. Now, granted, here's what I was going to say. The longer the distance, the more I'm going to beat you guys by.
A 40 is about as far as I'm going to be.
But I still think I would probably, I guarantee I would beat you in a 40. You really think you could beat me in a 40?
I might be able to beat you in a 40 and the three cone drill. I've got quick feet.
Are you kidding me?
State champion in high school soccer. What do you mean?
You cannot honestly you're just saying that. You cannot honestly think you could beat me in a 40.
Dude, it's 40 yards. We're not running around Henderson.
But oh man. And you all the time you pump up my ego like, oh, you're in such good shape.
You are. You look great in a tank top.
Then why do you Well, that's weird because I don't wear tank tops. But
no, when we played hoop, you looked good that day.
So why do you think that you could beat me in a 40?
I just think I'm quicker than you think. This I confidence. Think you're selling
oh, this
me
is,
down.
Hold on, we need to get Kiefer in on this.
All right, next
and then documentation.
Next week we're talking about this LasVegasSun.com sports talk. I think I'm quicker than you give me credit for, at least for 40 yards.
Maybe, but you can't beat me.
Thanks for listening.